Good morning and welcome to South Haven Christian Church. On your way in this morning, we have our greeters out there and they have our bulletins. If you did not receive a bulletin, we still have more out there in our foyer. We have a couple of handouts in there. And also, we have our outline to this morning's message. Also is our silent roll call card. If you're a guest, please fill out that set that says guest. Members of the opposite side, prayer concerns, announcements, please fill it out on that paper and put it in the offering plate at the offering time. We're going to begin with our morning reading.
Good morning. I'm going to read from Jonah 2:8-9. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.
If everybody will please stand, we are going to begin by singing You Are My Treasure.
You alone.
As you make your way back to your seats, if you would please continue to stand. We're going to continue worship by singing Praise the Lord, the Almighty.
This morning?
We have a couple of families to pray for. You know, sometimes when sickness comes and takes the life of a person, it's hard to accept, you know, like this one family that Eric Jimenez, Adolf's son, a lot of us know Adolf, and Eric is Adolf's son. He lost his mom and his dad last year, Eric. And a couple of days ago, his wife lost her dad. So these are three people they lost, within the 8 months, six months. So this, it's hard. So we need to pray for them. I think they're having a funeral on Thursday for his wife's dad. And I was talking to Dale Allen. He could use prayers. His side effects could be medicine, so the other things. So we need to pray for him, and we need to pray for everybody that's here this morning. We, it's hard to mention each one. I mean, we all probably could use prayers, and we all have something on our minds that is not right. So let's go to God in prayer and ask Him for His help. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for just giving us the opportunity to be in your house this morning, Lord. It's a blessing to be here. Be with the ones who came here and bring them back here when the time comes. Lord, just touch each one that walks into the doors, Lord. We know that we all have something on our minds to be concerned and to get depressed, get down, but we ask you to strengthen each one, Lord, and touch each one. Give us a better day, and thank you, and with you, things are going to get better. Carry us alone like you have. Be with the ones who lost their parents. Be with Eric's, Jimenez family and Eric's wife, Shelley, as she lost her dad. Give the Jimenez strength. As they have had it pretty hard last several months. And as the funeral is going to be on Thursday, we ask you to just bless the day and just help the family cope to what they're going to have to go through in the day. Be with Dale Allen, as he has some side effects from, he doesn't know why from, but he's suffering from health problems. As we know that he's been dealing with a lot of heart problems on his body all this past several years, as we know. So may you touch him, give him the better days, Lord, as he goes to doctors. We pray that they're able to help him and that he would feel better, and give him peace and strength, Lord. And we will be with Carlene and see could use prayers and you touch, Lord. Lord, in as we know, may you touch each one, everybody else. Be with the ones who are traveling, protect them on the road, and bring them back home safe when the time comes. And I once again thank for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning and see another beautiful day, to see the sun and other things that you have created for us. We love you, and we ask you to keep on loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Took on flesh. Did for us that we could not do for ourselves. I'm taking a passage, familiar passage to all of us out of 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote these words to the church at Corinth to help them out with some problems that they were having. And it's found in the 11th chapter, verses 23 to 26. For I have received that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and ye drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes." I picked that familiar passage because I love it, but recently I saw that last verse and it just kind of grabbed me. But "This do in remembrance of me." He said that twice, and I think that's at the heart of what he calls us to do here every Sunday, to stop in our busy lives and remember that we've been saved to be with throughout eternity because of what he did for us on the cross. "This do in remembrance of me." Could we possibly remember this great act of our salvation too often? I don't think so. And then that last sentence where Jesus said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Don't you just love that? We're proclaiming that Jesus, the Christ, is the Son of the living God. That he came here a little over 2,000 years ago to save us from our sins, that we might be with him throughout eternity. And it goes on to say that every time we do what we're doing right here, we're proclaiming that to the world. And the world's watching. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Father, Lord, sometimes we just tremble as we come before you and think of the things you've done for us, that you made us, you provided for us, you loved us, you knew we would sin, you knew that would separate us from you, and you and your Son devised a plan to write it that we might be with you through eternity simply by accepting the free gift of salvation and being baptized into the name of your Son. Lord, we thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for your Son, for your Spirit here with us today. And we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ.
Thank you. us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you have given us. And we thank you, Father, for the way you just take care of us and give us everything that we need, Father. Father, we bring a portion of that back to you now, Father. And we pray that you will use it in a way that we can go and share the love throughout this community and throughout the world, Father. As we bring our tithes and offerings, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You saw a couple announcement slides there. In the foyer, there is two different stacks of sheets. If you want to put an app on your phone. Now, again, I'm not one of these computer gurus and phone experts, but I have an Android, and I did what that sheet said. I just scanned that barcode. Bam! I got the app. I didn't have to go searching for it. And I've been watching our service today on my phone, which is kind of cool. Can someone zoom in on me just a little bit? I can't tell that's me. Could you just zoom in? Is that really me on? No, come on, zoom in more. Come on. All right. We've been getting some calls from people, not because of this app, but because they have been getting online. But now this allows somebody just two pushes of your finger, boom, boom, and you're streaming. You know, you don't have to figure it out. Once that thing is on your phone and you're on vacation, you know, I don't want anybody to come back from vacation and say, church? No, when you come back, I'm going to ask you, what did I preach last Sunday? And you better have the right answer. And you can still cheat on me because I think those sermons are going to be archived a little bit. So you can go back, you know, and still fool me. But I'm going to be asking because, you see, you got a way to be in church every Sunday or to stay with the theme of today, you have a way to be with your family every Sunday. Every Sunday. So I hope that you'll check that out. If scanning something is too much, I think we got a few people that will help you scan. So that will be on your phone. Once it's on your phone, you don't have to do anything else except just hit it, bam, and hit one more time, and you're streaming if you're somewhere that you can't be in church. So I want to thank the Hanses. They've been working diligently to try to find a program and an app, and they pulled it all together, and we're rolling it out. So I hope that you'll try to see if that's something that will work with you. All right, if you have your Bibles with you today, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. I haven't been in that book in a while, Hebrews chapter 2. I need everybody to turn there now because we're going to read the scripture first. I don't always like doing that, but I think I have everybody's attention. So if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to read our passage of scripture first today, and then we're going to ask two questions, and then we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 9. Now, you can follow along on our screen, I believe, or your own translations if you wish. Some people say, well, what's the translation on the screen? It's always New International. More people in the church have that one, so that's one we default to, hoping that most of you already have that. But if not, please take out your Bible. We do not have a authorized version in this church. The Bible's the Bible, all right? And I think the New International is a great translation, and that's the one we're going to read from here today. Hebrews 2, beginning verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, from whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, 'I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises.' And again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again, he says, 'Here am I and the children God has given me.' Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." On January 28, 1986, Allison Smith got up very early that morning, put on some warm clothes, and went out to Cape Kennedy Space Center to watch her daddy take off in the shuttle. He was the pilot on this particular shuttle mission. It was a beautiful Tuesday morning. The air was clear and crisp. Allison got excited when the countdown started. 10, 9, 8, 7. Everyone was on their feet. They were cheering. The solid fuel rockets were ignited, and the shuttle lifted off. Everything appeared flawless and perfect. Pride swept through the crowd that morning. And then came the horrible sight that we've all seen, I'm sure, over and over again when it happened. Slightly more than a minute after takeoff, the shuttle blew up, killing all crew members on board. People on the ground could not believe what they just saw. Silence fell over the crowd. And then a lone child's voice cut through the air. Daddy, Daddy, I want you, Daddy. You promised nothing would happen. I want you, Daddy. Silence. No answer came back. Just the harsh, cold reality that her daddy was now gone forever. Her daddy would never answer another question. He would never hold his daughter in his arms again. How would you feel if you were Allison Smith that morning and your daddy was gone now forever? I think most of us would be devastated and crushed, just as she was. You see, families that care for one another and love one another and are concerned for the welfare of each family member will always be close to each other, especially during times of disaster. And somehow, I believe that Jesus Christ wants us to be that kind of family here in this body of believers. He wants us to be a real family in the sense that I could say that any one of you are as close to me as my own two blood brothers, Bobby or Jerry, or my blood sister, Kathy. I can assure you, many of you are more close to me in lots of ways. They're family, but you're even more family. And thus, one of our greatest challenges here in this body of believers is to love one another deeply to the point that we are melted together into a close-knit family with Jesus Christ as our elder brother and God as our Father. Let's ask and answer two questions, two simple questions here this morning to help us to determine if we are the kind of family that God would want us to be. The first question is this: Is Jesus ever ashamed of his family? Is Jesus ever ashamed? The text that we just read indicated that Jesus had to suffer in order to make us part of his family. So let me ask, Do you know that each time a baby is born into this world, someone suffers and could possibly die? Sure you do. You know that. And as we're all thinking about it, fathers, it's not you. Even though you feel like dying when you get that hospital bill. Yeah. It's mother who suffers as that new life comes into the world. Now, Sarah's here today, but she's not in the service. But Sarah, I think, would agree with me that I think that our firstborn, Julia Hope, was the hardest of our three children to deliver. As I think back. Sarah was in labor over 23 hours, I think. It is hard to remember because as Sarah's coach, I felt that I had better get a little sleep before the big moment came. I do have to say I crashed a few times during those 23 hours. Tried my best to keep my eyes open. It was a long day, long night. But all kidding aside, I can tell you that I learned what suffering was all about after Sarah gave birth to Julia. It was our first, and so I learned a lot because, you know, in those days, I don't know about before then, but when Julia came, they did let the father stay in. I was there the whole time. Wow. There were a lot of things that happened in my life when my daughter was born, but one of the primary things that happened that I didn't really see coming was for the very first time I could fully appreciate what my mother went through to give me life. And how dangerous childbirth can be at times. I know we put a lot of trust in our physicians and the medical technology, but sometimes a baby can go very quickly. A lot of concerns that happen in those moments. And from that moment of realization, I began to really comprehend what it meant to be a mother who puts her life on the line. A mother to be committed to a child. And I began to understand why mothers find it so difficult to give up on one of their children, no matter what they do in this life. It's because they have risked their own life to give birth to a new life. So as you think about that, folks, Jesus not only risked his life, but gave his life so that we might be born into the kingdom of God. And he is not about to give up on one of his children. Why? Because he has given his life for their life. I'm aware of a teenage girl that was kind of like some of our teenage girls in the past who loved to hold babies. I noticed that for a period of time when we had a lot of teenage girls. If a baby was born, she would usually tackle the mother and try to get that baby into her arms. And she would carry that baby around and grin and coo and tickle that baby and just have a blast. That is the teenage girl. Well, this teenage girl had an aunt that was several years older than her, who had been married for several years, and her aunt finally got pregnant with her first child. Big moment. But the problem was the pregnancy was a nightmare. The woman was sick the whole time, all 9 months. I mean, it wasn't just at the end. It was all 9 months she was sick. She jokingly said that she put the pillow by the toilet because she knew that she was going to probably spend a lot of time there, and she did. She lived just about every day in the bathroom. She was sick every morning, every night, every afternoon. She was sick through the whole pregnancy. In the last couple of months, she was even confined to bed. It was awful. And then came the time for the baby to be born, and she went through what seemed to be one of the longest labors in history. And she was in bad shape when this aunt delivered that baby. She lost a lot of blood. The aunt was hospitalized, along with the baby, of course, for 2 weeks. It was a very difficult time for the mother. Not so much for the baby, but for the mother. Finally, though, the mother and the baby got to come home. Praise God. This teenage girl, though, did what she always did. She goes and she tackles her aunt. She says, "I want to hold that baby of yours." The aunt is holding this blue-eyed baby doll, and this teenage girl looks at her aunt, and she asks this strange question. "Tell me the truth. Was it really worth it all?" And the aunt took the blanket off the baby's face and leaned down so that the teenage girl could see that baby's face. And then says to the teenager, "You tell me if it was worth it." Tell me, moms, we got a few of you here today. Tell me, moms, was it worth it? You can say it out loud. Was it worth it? Was it worth all the pain? Was it worth the suffering? Was it worth the discomfort? And do you forget about the pain? Yeah, you forget about it, or you wouldn't have another one. And another one. Or like my sister, six of them. Oh, wow. She had a short memory. You see, God designed it that way. The joy of the child makes you forget the suffering. It's a God thing. So focus on the cross here for just a moment. If you were to walk up to the cross of Jesus Christ this morning, and if you could envision him hanging on this cross with blood running down his face and his arms and his feet, and you walk right up and he's near death, and there are big puddles of blood at the foot of the cross, and the man can hardly hold his head up, and you look at Jesus and you ask this incredible, strange question. You say, "Jesus, is it worth it?" I think he might drag you down to the house of the person who is living like hell, doing his own thing, involved in drugs, involved in immorality, the person that everyone would say that he is not interested in God and he would never be interested in God. And then Jesus would pull the blanket so that you could see a new creation. A person who has repented of his sins and turned his life around and now is living for Jesus. Is it worth it? Jesus replies, you tell me, is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. It was worth every drop of blood that was spilt so that person could become part of the family of God. Let me tell you, Jesus loves his babies. And if I read this text right, he is not ashamed of his family. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. Tell you something. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind when I read a scripture that says Jesus is not ashamed to call me his brother. You know why? Quite frankly, I'm ashamed of me. I'm ashamed of my failures. I'm ashamed of the sin I've committed in my life, but Jesus is not ashamed of me, it says. That's rather ironic, isn't it? My sins put Jesus on the cross, yet he is the one who says, I'm not ashamed to call you my brother. That tells me something about the love of family and the commitment that he has for each of us here in this church. Let me ask, because I know some of you have brothers and sisters, but how many of you grew up with an older brother or an older sister that did not want you to be around them? Raise your hand. Has to be an older brother or sister. Raise your hand. Yeah, okay, we got a few. So you'll understand what I'm about to say. My older brother, his name is Jerry. And he made it very clear early on in our existence together here on earth. He made it very clear to me that he didn't want me around him. And if you have an older brother or sister, you know what I'm talking about. They have their ways of communicating that, directly and indirectly. I could never do the right thing or say the right thing that would let me into that inner circle of his friends, ever. He was 1 year older than me, so obviously I always wanted to do what he wanted to do, and no, stay away. You can't be with me. And I do believe there were many times that he was absolutely ashamed and embarrassed to be my brother. It's a shame that this happens in so many families where brothers and sisters are ashamed of one another. There are even parents, oh, this is awful. There are even parents, believe it or not, who are ashamed of their children because their daughter was not pretty enough, or their son was not intelligent enough or athletic enough. There's something wrong with the family where family members are ashamed to be in the family or to call you family for whatever reason. But Jesus, according to Hebrews 2, is not embarrassed. He's not ashamed to call any one of us his brother. And you know what really blows my mind? Here it comes. Get it? Jesus is not ashamed of me even when I sin. He is not ashamed of me when I take some bad steps in my life. Have any of you had children who played little league sports? Mine did not. But let me tell you, over the years, just being in church work, I went to a lot of little league sports games on behalf of youth in the church. Yeah. Unbelievable what happens at a little league sporting event. The fighting. Not with the kids. The kids are having fun out there. It's the parents. Here I'm up in the stand. I'm trying to root on a church member, and then a fight breaks out in the stand. Parents yelling, you know, words I would not repeat ever, you know, and they're going back and forth. Well, that's going on in the stands. Now, out in the field, what I noticed, especially the younger they are, and I've been to football games, I've been to baseball games, I've been to all kinds of games, not with my kids, but with other people's kids. Have you ever had that experience where one of your kids catches the football? Yes, go. Everybody's go. And then you realize somewhere along the way, no, the other way. The other way. No, the other way. You know, and everybody's up in arms. They can't believe that. And then there's a silence that hits the stands because all the parents, oh, those parents must be embarrassed. They must be ashamed that their kid caught the ball and ran to the opposite, the wrong end of the football field. It happens. When your child messes up, if it was your child and they messed up, are you ashamed of them out there? Didn't you still love the child? Didn't you still care for the child? Couldn't you overlook it? Maybe the coach can't, but you could. Why? Why could you overlook it? Because that was your daughter. That was your son. That was family. Yeah, we make mistakes. Son, let it go. Next game you want to do better. I love you. Do you know Jesus looks that way at us, I believe? He knows we're going to sin. The Bible tells us clearly he knows we're going to sin. That's why he gives us all the helps and all the tools. You know, he says if you say that you're not going to sin, you're a liar. Just know you're going to have problems. And he gives us lots of help. But he's never ashamed. Because you're still in the family. You're still part of the family. He may be disappointed. I think parents get disappointed. But not ashamed. And that leads us to our second and final question here. Are we ever ashamed of our church family? Oh, now we're getting close to home here. What about us here in the church? Do we ever become ashamed of a brother or sister in Christ that's a member in our church? Someone shows up in blue jeans and it doesn't look quite as good next to your three-piece tie outfit. What's going on here? Someone doesn't dress or speak or look the way you think that they should, do you become ashamed of them? Someone is struggling with a sin problem in his or her life, do you become ashamed of that person, or do you love them and help them? The Bible says we are to restore people, Christians. We are to come alongside them. We are to gently restore them. But that's not always the reaction I see of some member. Oh, can you believe that? I'm so ashamed that they ever joined the church. God's heart has to break. Folks, if Jesus isn't ashamed of us as brothers and sisters, what right do we have to be ashamed of a brother or sister here within this congregation? We have none. When are we going to learn that we're all in the same boat? We're all sinners in desperate need of being saved. Jesus saved us and calls us to be family, a family where all of us love one another and care for one another. That's why I like the motto here, a safe haven for all, but is it always safe for all? That motto of our church should remind every single one of us every time we walk into this building is this a safe place for me as I come into this building, or am I feeling pressure? Am I feeling people that don't really want to be around me because they're ashamed that I joined this local church? And then you got to flip that coin and you have to ask that question, does everybody feel safe around me? Or do I make people feel uncomfortable? I'm sick and tired of hearing about churches where some members think that they're better than others. Not so much here, but I've heard it. And when that is going on, I can assure you that there is fighting and bickering going on within the membership. It's not a family. That's not the kind of church that Jesus prayed for in John 17. Read that chapter sometime. That is a great prayer of unity. Jesus wanted his church to be unified, not at odds with one another. Unfortunately, I'm just using my own family as an example, but I can assure you that my brother Jerry and I were always at war with one another. God had to help my mom and dad. But we didn't see each other as brothers. We saw each other as someone we had to tolerate. It was awful. So what about your life here today? Is this a family? Is it your family? Is the kingdom of God your family? I hope it is. I'm always thankful that I leave the country because I've learned so much from other cultures. I go to a place where people have hardly nothing. Talk about poverty, living on a few bucks a year. They don't have much money. They live in shacks. Shacks that blow away during a hurricane. Most times have to be rebuilt. Cardboard cities, tin cities, everything just tacked together. But I see them walk in together as a family. Mom, dad, children. They all just look as happy as a clam, you know, just smiling and running around, thankful that they're at church. And I'll ask Benito, the minister, sometimes, I said, where do they live? Yeah, they have to get up 2 hours early. They walk to church as a family. 2 hours, one way, they walk to church. They don't have the money for transportation, no car. But when they get to church, they're just so happy. Everyone in that family, happy. I'm going to close with this because I just heard it. And I knew what I was going to preach today, but the person that shared the illustration did not know what I was going to preach today. And I just thought, wow, unbelievable. Tell me if you don't think this is seeing someone that you don't even know, but you know that they're a Christian, that you treat them like a brother, a stranger. So I have to use names a little bit here. Hal Myers. Actually, this is how he came up to me. He said, "You're not going to believe this." Now, I usually say to anybody that says that, "Try me." But this is almost unbelievable because Al tells me that, I think it was yesterday, that he runs. Now, Al, I'm probably going to embellish a little bit, so just know that if I'm way off, raise your hand, you know. But just know that he's at I-95 and I think 92, and there's somebody there that needs a ride. Now, I don't recommend this. Just know that. It's a judgment call, but, you know, Al's a big man. And I think he can make those decisions. And he decided, he just felt like he needed to stop. And he picked that man up. And they got to talking. "Where are you heading?" "As far north as I can go." And Al says, "Well, I'm going up the road here. I get off at 40, but I'll take you to US 1. Exit after 40. Okay. And they are going, and Al engages them in conversation and asks a couple questions that kind of get you a little more comfortable with your passenger, and found out that he's a Christian. Not just any Christian, an immersed believer in Christ. That's interesting. And they got to US 1, and Al's feeling a little comfortable at this point with this guy and says, "Well, US 1, hey, I'll take you up to, where was it? St. Augustine. US, the truck stop, yes. Circle, or J, Flying J, Flying J. I know exactly where it is. All right, so he goes from US 1 here all the way to St. Augustine, taking this stranger, but he knows he's a brother, he's a Christian, they're having conversation, he takes him to St. Augustine. Well, about the moment he gets to St. Augustine, you know what he starts seeing up there? He sees signs for the other Buc-ee's that was built up there, which is still another almost 25 miles beyond St. Augustine. And he says to this person, "Hey, there's a Buc-ee. I'll take you on up to Buc-ee's." Now you have to know, Al was just going home. It's his birthday. It was his birthday. He was heading home. He ends up taking a stranger who is a Christian from here all the way to Golf World. And I can assure you that's well over an hour, one way. 2 hours over 2 hours round trip out of his way. Now, what do you call that? What do you call that? A miracle. You call that family. You call that he's part of the family of God. You know how many people have come to me and asked me for money, or they asked me for something, and I say, first question I ask them, do you have a church family somewhere? And their answer usually is, well, no. And I said, really? You need a church family. And then I give a testimony, and I tell them, I said, it doesn't matter where I am in this world. It doesn't matter. If I was in trouble, if I needed something, if I needed help, if I needed money, if I needed encouragement, all I would have to do is make one phone call. And if that one person's not home, I can make one other phone call. Someone in this church I could call, and I know help is on the way. Because, why? We're part of a family. And we care for one another. We're glad that someone called and that we could be part of the solution and help somebody. Well, here's the rest of the story. You got to know the rest of the story. So Al lets him out. And Al says, can I pray with you? Man said, yeah. So he prays for his journey further north. Have a good day. God watch over him, protect him. Amen. And then as soon as he said that, the man said, I don't know if the man asked. Did the man ask or did he just launch? The man just launched into a prayer himself. Like, thank you, God, for sending Al to me. How'd you feel, Al? Unbelievable. Because you know that God brought those two men's path across each other. And because they both had the right attitude and the right background, and they knew what was going on, knew who each other was, they both became an encouragement to each other. That, folks, is family. I hope we're that family. I hope we will continue to be that family. Let your ear be close to the ground. Listen, because every family has problems. Every family has needs. And sometimes you're the answer to somebody else's need. Just be available. You know, when someone says, preach, I really don't feel like being at church Sunday. I said, really? Yeah, you know, I really don't think I need to be challenged in the Word today. I said, really? Yeah. I said, well, you know, there's other reasons to be at church. You know, there might be someone that needs you today because you're part of a family. Maybe they need you. You may not need them, but they might need you. Keep that in mind, if you will. As we come to our time of invitation today, there may be someone here that's outside of Christ, and each Lord's Day we extend an invitation and an opportunity for anyone to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. He is calling all people into a family. It's called the kingdom of God. It's called the church here on earth. It's called the family of God. If you need to become part of that family, why not make it today as we stand and sing our hymn of decision?
Like me.
right. Very good. Thank you for being here today, sharing with us. In the bulletin, you'll find that there are lots of announcements, especially on the back page calendar there for you. Just know this new app has a events calendar, has a prayer wall. It has a number of other things other than the service for Sunday. I think as time goes on and we see this develop, I think there's going to be more and more opportunities for you to interact and engage and be part of the bigger family here by communicating through the app, I hope. And please check it out. Start using it when you can. If you get stumped, if you don't know the next turn, you do what I did. I read it and it says scan the barcode. I said, well, how do you scan the barcode? I wasn't even sure how to scan the barcode. So I made a phone call. One phone call. You see, I'm telling you, all I have to know is one phone call. I called one person and help was on the way. And hey, just flip over to your camera and take care of it. Oh, is that it? All right, I can do that. And from there on, I was good. You know, I just didn't know how to get started. And if you are there, then we want to send somebody or answer a question over the phone to make you feel comfortable. Yes. Oh, I didn't know that. So, all right. So, how many have Apple phones? How many have Android phones? All right. So, we got more Apple than Android. Those with Android, go to the prayer wall and pray for the Apple people. Because you see, you don't need a password. You could just go right into that prayer wall and offer up a prayer for the Apple people in the church. And Lord, we need our Apple people on board here, so let them find their passwords. I don't know about you, but I've lost all my passwords, you know, and then I got to go through the whole nine yards of trying to set up a new password and all that. So anyway, we'll pray for y'all, the Apple folks. Any other announcements? I got one more, but I'm going to save it to last, but right here. All right, gone for 2 weeks. Is that like in vacation gone 2 weeks?
Yep.
Yep. All right. We got several people leaving on vacation. I know Donna and Robert are leaving this week, and they'll be gone for 2 months. You're gone how long?
2 weeks.
So. They're going to be gone a long time, so some of you may be asking, where's Donna and Robert? Well, that's a long haul there. That's 8 weeks that they're going to be gone up north, taking care of a lot of family type things. Okay, in the foyer, there is a sign up. Next Lord's Day is Father's Day. Hope that you'll be out. There is dinner served. There is dinner served, right? Yes. The ladies have decided, fathers, to treat us, right? Okay. So, will there be ribeye there? That's all I need to know. Ribeye and lobster, fathers. Are you going to be here next week? No, you're gone. All right, I want his ribeye. And, okay, good. But I hope that we'll have, we had, I think, almost 70 people that stayed for dinner on Mother's Day. Don't know if we'll get that on Father's Day, but don't go out to eat if you don't have to. The meal was great at Mother's Day, and I think it'll be great this time as well. And your wait time is really diminished by staying here. I believe by the time you get somewhere and wait an hour to get in, you'll probably say, why didn't we just stay at church, you know, to be able to do that. Now, because we're family, a couple things that you may not be aware of. Julie Bowman, do you have anything to share with your church family? Yeah. anything. I mean, it can be lots of things. You know, you may have several things to share, actually. Andy. Andy is married. Wait. Is that all of them now? Are all the sons married? All the sons. Done. Over. All right. Anything else? Oh! Wait. Which son? Eddie. Eddie's going to have a baby soon. All right. So when's the delivery time for that? Christmas. All right. So, but we know it's on the way. It's in the hopper. So that's good. All right, Sue. Okay. That's taken a while. We've been praying a long time for that. Yep. Yes. All right. Very good. Insert in your bulletins. Now, if you were like me, the first time I saw this, I have to tell you, the first time I saw it was in black and white. And I looked at that and I said, Barbara who? It says, congratulations, Barbara. And I said, Barbara who? And I kept looking and trying to figure that. Now, you have to realize this was black and white. When I first looked at it, I said, I don't know Barbara with black hair. But you know, after you put the color in here a little bit, you begin to see that you wear some kind of netting on your hair, yes? Yes, and a mask. There's a mask and a netting. But folks, if you don't know, this is Barbara Sissel in here, and you'd have to read the whole thing to know that. But she got honored by her company, actually. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think this was in the business newsletter of the company about our member Barbara, our family member Barbara, and at the very end we highlighted it bold. It says Barbara has a passion to volunteer with a group she helped start at her church called CIA, Christians in Action. Congratulations to Barbara. Now, we have some guests here, or some very brand new members. Can you see what she is sitting at in one of those pictures? You see what it is? What kind of machine is that? It's a sewing machine. Now, if you don't know, Barbara's main duty at this business is being a seamstress, and she sews. And some of you back there, if you don't know Barbara, you probably, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal as she sits down to that machine right there is she can't see that machine, and she can feel it. She's blind, and she's their best seamstress in this company. Number one. Yes, Barbara? Yes. Never say, I can't, because some kind of handicap. You can do a lot with God's help, and Barbara daily is showing us that you can also be a great example, a great employee example, and she got honored for it, and we got mentioned in a national company newsletter, you know, as far as her involvement in our church. That's letting your light shine, and that's talking about your family, you know, family that you're part of. All right, any other announcements? Yes, right here. No, he didn't do that again, did he? Wait a second, he was up there at Bucky's yesterday. How could he be at your place? All right. See that's family. That's family for you. And I hope that y'all are praying for Al. Al's in training to be our next deacon here in the church. And I can kind of give you an update that we're well on our way. We're not there yet, but he certainly is involved in lots of ministries, and he's doing his very best to be a great example, I think, for our body. So pray for him, because you see what we see. You know who else sees that? This is why I'm saying this. If we see it, who else sees it? The enemy. No, well, God certainly sees it, but the enemy sees it. And when the enemy sees it, he's going to try to shut it down. He's going to try to stop it. He's going to try it, because when someone is doing a good thing for God, Satan hates it. And that's why we pray for this brother.
He tried his hardest 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mary Ann. You know, back in my teenage day, you know what we call what we're doing right now? What did we call that? Those are my age. We call that little. What? Call that what? Squealing. No. It's called love bombing. Love bombing, you know. And that's a term I haven't heard in a long time. But a little love bombing can go a long way there. So, hey, you've been a big help to a lot of people. Right up here? Yes? Uh-oh. George, is it your birthday? You got one. Well, I got one coming too, so we're both looking forward to a birthday, I guess, this week. And so if that be the case, I think we need to sing happy birthday to George back there. If you want to let a little come this way, that's okay. But let's sing happy birthday to you. Is it? I can't remember. what day is that this week? All right, 43 years, folks. 43. Mm. All right, still, way under that 50 threshold. Now, as we say that, I'll close with this note. We were going to go fishing this month, but I got a call. I didn't know this, but I got a call, and David Sepulveda said, it's that time. I said, yeah, I know. I want to get back down to the DR. He said, no, it's 50 years Ed and I have been married. I said, really? I didn't know you that much older than me. And oh yeah. And so anyway, he put me on notice that his 50th wedding anniversary was coming up. And then I heard through the grapevine that I don't think he wanted to fight with me, but I heard through the grapevine he wants me to redo their vows. Wow. So that I mean, I feel honored that my good friend, my best friend for many years down, actually up in Jacksonville, that we're still well enough and strong enough to minister together and go to the mission field. And actually, he is a missionary now. I tried for years to get him to do this 20 years ago, but he played around, and he's there now. And I told him, I said, as long as you're there, I'm there. I will support you till the day you stop. And and Benito was the first preacher that we met over 32 years ago. And when we go down there, he's still part of the whole picture. You know, it's his church, his home that we stay in. It's his area of expertise, and so it's kind of nice. But pray for the Sepulveda's 50-year celebration. You know, again, we don't hear too many of those 50th wedding anniversaries, and they've reached it. That's a milestone, and I hope that things will go well. But that'll be the 19th. On my birthday is also his anniversary, and I knew that that was coming. So, all right, anything else? Lots of sharing. Thank you for doing it. If we have a guest here, just know we do a little bit of this because we're family here. And if there's nothing else, let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Our Father in heaven, I pray here today for our family. Pray that you'll continue to bless us, help us in our efforts to be a shining light in this part of the community. May we always communicate and show people through our actions that we are very much family all the way. We treat each other with love and care and concern. And I pray that it rubs off on others who are not part of this family, and that they can sense and feel that love just pouring out from this body. Be with us now, Father, as we depart. Protect us from the evil one, and thank you again for a great day in your house with your people, on our table, with our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with this closing course.